السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن، قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما، قال ومن ذريتي، قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. As we approach the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the minds of each and every believer will be towards the great ibadah of Hajj for those who will be performing Hajj. And even those who are not going to perform Hajj at this moment in time, a believer's mindset should be that he reminds himself of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the great prophet of Allah Ta'ala. The great sacrifices which he made, due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made one ibadah known as udhiyah and qurbani necessary upon the believers. And this is a reminder of the great sacrifice which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made during his lifetime. In fact, one of the many sacrifices which he made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's Rabb tested him. And he tested him through many different tests. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was successful and he passed in each and every one of these tests. There was not a single test in which he failed. And from amongst them, one of them is that when he is shown a dream, a vision, that he is slaughtering his own son. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes to his son and he says to his son that inni ara fil manam, indeed I saw in a dream, anni azbahuka, that I am slaughtering you. Fandhur madha tara, so what is your opinion with regards to this? Meaning, what should we do? So this was the test of his son Ismail alayhi salam. No, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is seeing a vision, a dream, that he is slaughtering his son, which in itself was a great sacrifice. Because Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was granted to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam after many, many years. So when a person is blessed with children, this in itself is a moment of happiness. But if a person is blessed with children after desiring children for many, many years, and he waits 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala blesses a couple with children, then the happiness is even more. Because they have received something after a very long wait. And this is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a couple with children, it's a gift and a favor. But we have to keep this point in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most knowledgeable and the most knowing when it comes to bestowing favors and gifts upon His servants. So sometimes it's possible that we want something, we desire something, but that item which we want is not good for us. And Allah Ta'ala, knowing it's not good for us, He does not give it to us. This is why Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that Asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. That it's possible that you desire something, you like something, you want something. But it is not good for you. Now, when it is not good for you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give it to you. So whenever we have something in our mind, anything that we want, this particular thing, we make dua for it and we exert the permissible effort for it. These are the two things a believer should do whenever he wants something. Number one, he should make dua to Allah ta'ala. And number two, he should exert effort in trying to attain it, but only through permissible ways. He should never trespass the limits set by Sharia to obtain something. So if he makes dua and he also exerts the permissible methods to try and attain it, and after this, if he still does not gain that particular thing, then he should understand that this, what I want, that it's not good for me. This is why Allah Ta'ala is not giving it to me. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum." Sometimes you dislike something, whereas it's good for you. So you don't want something to happen. You don't want something, but you get it. Now you should tell yourself that there must be goodness in here. This is why Allah Ta'ala has given me this thing. And sometimes it's the opposite, that you want something but you are not getting it. Again, this is something that you have to tell yourself, that Allah Ta'ala knows more than I do. This is why Allah Ta'ala ends the verse by saying, "Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun." Allah Ta'ala knows and you do not know. Allah Ta'ala has knowledge, you do not have knowledge. Just as when a child asks something from the parents know better what's good for the child and what's not good for the child. So when the parents know that there's no harm for the child in this, they will give the child. But there will be many cases when a child will ask for something, will cry for something, will beg for something. Now, it's very difficult for the parents to see this child crying, wailing, screaming, but they won't give it. Why? Because they know this is harmful for the child. So even after making plenty of dua, even after crying, after screaming, after wailing, if we are still not getting what we are asking for from Allah, then we should understand that this is because Allah Ta'ala wants something far more better. It's possible this is not good for us. So even when it comes to children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Allah Ta'ala gifts children to whomsoever He wishes. So the verb which has been used in this verse is yahabu, to give something. So look, children are a gift. Allah Ta'ala could have said Allah gives. But He doesn't say He gives, He says He gifts. Yahabu. لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا, to whomsoever He wishes female offspring. The verse begins, Allah Ta'ala could have first said male offspring, but Allah Ta'ala first mentions female offspring. Why? Because amongst the Arabs, before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bestowed with prophethood, women had no rights. And if a girl was born in a particular house, then this is something which the Arabs looked down upon. They didn't like to have daughters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى, when one of them would be given the glad tidings that a girl has been born in your house. If the father was informed that the child which is born is a girl, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ, when the glad tidings were given. So look, the Quran is saying this is glad tidings. This is something to be happy about. But what was their condition? ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. They would bow down in shame and they would become extremely angry. They would become infuriated that the child born to my wife is a girl. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. And thereafter they would start to hide from the people. They would not want to show their face. For them it was a means of great shame that how can I show my face to society when they're going to look at me and think that this is a father of a girl. And then they would remain in this dilemma that أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. I have one of two options. Either I continue living and let this girl grow up in my house, and whenever I meet someone, I have to feel this disgrace that I am a father of a daughter. Or the second option is that I take this girl and I bury her alive. And many of them mercilessly buried their own daughters alive. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On the day of Qiyamah, these girls that were buried alive, they will be questioned that what was your crime that you were buried alive? And obviously they did nothing wrong, just the fact that they were females. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in such a society. One companion, he came, and he said that in the days of ignorance, my wife gave birth to a daughter. And for many months, she hid this from me that it was a girl that was born. She kept the daughter in another house. But how long can you hide it? So finally, I was informed that we have been blessed with a baby daughter. So the girl grows up until she reaches an age where she was able to play with me. But daily this thought kept coming into my mind that how can I face this disgrace of the people that they are going to say that you have become the father of a girl. So he says that this girl was very attached to me, my baby daughter. But one day I told my wife, I'm going to take her out to play. And I took her in the jungle and I began to dig the grave. And I placed the girl inside the grave and she thought she was playing with me and I was playing with her. Until when I started to throw the soil on her and she realized she was screaming and crying out that, what are you doing to me, my father? And in this way I buried my own daughter. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tears flowing from his eyes when he heard this first hand account. So just imagine what sort of people they were. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now one of the missions which he came with is these sort of very evil ways and evil thoughts which were embedded in the Arabs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to purify all of this. So he mentioned virtues. He mentioned virtues. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that person who gives birth, or that couple who are blessed with one girl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with a place in Jannah and Paradise. In another hadith, two girls. In another hadith, three girls. That if they are blessed with daughters and they look after these daughters, they bring them up, then their condition on the day of Qiyamah will be such that they will be very close to me on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated with these two fingers, like this. Meaning just how these two fingers are very close, this person will be very close to me on the day of Qiyamah. And like this, this woman and this female who had no rights in society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the woman with such rights that nobody has ever given such rights to women. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse mentions that يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثَ. Sometime Allah ta'ala blesses a couple with female children. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a couple with male children. They only have male children. So this is why we will see in some houses there are only girls. One girl is born, second girl is born, third girl is born. And in some houses you will see only boys. One boy, second boy, third boy, fourth boy. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. The third scenario is that we bless a couple with male children also and female children also. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. And there are some houses, Allah Ta'ala says, that we keep the woman barren. She is not able to give birth to children. But all four are from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala ends the verse by saying, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala is Alim, the All-Knowing, and He is Qadir, the All-Powerful. So whatever Allah Ta'ala chooses for you, whether He chooses for you only male children, whether He chooses for you only female children, whether He chooses for you male as well as female, or whether He chooses for you no children at all, Allah Ta'ala is Alim, the All-Knowing. So Allah Ta'ala knows what is best for you. So now each and every person will remain happy that this is what is best for me, because this is what Allah has chosen for me. And Allah Ta'ala is Qadir, the All-Powerful. So Allah Ta'ala shows that I have such power that to some couples I give only females, some couples only males, some couples I give both, and some couples I give nothing. So if we are blessed with children, this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, if you are blessed with children, this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. And if you are not blessed with children, then this is the rahmah and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So nobody can be a loser. You have to be happy in both situations. If you are blessed with children, it's a gift. Now whenever you are blessed with a gift, the gift comes with responsibilities. So you will have to now nurture the children correctly in an Islamic manner. Their upbringing will have to be correct. Otherwise you will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. مَاذَا أَلَّمْتَهُ. What Islamic knowledge did you give to your children? وَمَاذَا أَدَّبْتَهُ. And how did you nurture your children in an Islamic manner? Every parent will be asked these two questions. Yes, children are a gift, but they come with a great responsibility. And if you are not blessed with children, this is rahmah, this is mercy. Why is this mercy? Because you have no responsibility now. You are free. You just have to ask those parents who have children how difficult it is. So whichever ship you belong to, for a Muslim, there is always going to be happiness. You will always be happy with what Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you. So never let shaitan place this thought in your mind that what you have is not right. Sometimes parents are blessed with children, but they don't want the children. And on the other side, you have such couples who want children, they are not blessed with children. So they go to such avenues and ways which are completely haram and impermissible just to try and gain children. Rather, what I mentioned right at the beginning, we do two things. One is we make dua, and number two, we exert effort in permissible ways. After dua and exerting effort in permissible ways, if Allah Ta'ala still does not give you what you want, then this should be an indication that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wants to keep me in this particular situation, and you should remain happy with that. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is blessed with a son after many, many years. But now he is being told, or rather he sees a dream, that he is slaughtering his son. So imagine how difficult this must be. Because for a father, it is more greater to see his son prosper. This brings even more happiness to him than his own success. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has narrated a hadith. Under the commentary of this hadith, some of the commentators have mentioned this couplet of a great muhaddith, a great teacher of hadith, who used to say, "Durusu Ahmad khayrun min durusi Aliyin, wa dhaka indi muntaha al-amali." So what this simply means is that the father was also a great sheikh, and his son also became a great sheikh. Now the father used to impart lessons, and many people used to attend his lessons. But then a time came when his son began to impart lessons. And when his son began to impart the lessons of hadith, his gatherings were even more larger than his father's gatherings. So somebody came and told him that your son's gatherings are even more better and more successful than yours. So on that occasion, the father said, "Durusu Ahmad khayrun min durusi Aliyin," that my son's lessons are more better than my lessons. But this has always been my dream, that I see that day when my son surpasses me. So every father has this in his mind and heart, that when will I see the day when my son surpasses my achievements? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine when he is being informed that you have to slaughter your son. What a great sacrifice this is, that he will not be able to see that day when his son surpasses him. But because it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was willing to do this. And on the other side, the test for the son is that I am still young, I am still in my youth, and I have to give my life. But when Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him that, "What is your opinion? This is the dream that I have seen." Ismail alayhi salam replied, "Ya abati if al ma tu'mar." Oh my beloved father, do as you have been commanded. So both were ready to surrender and submit themselves before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one, or rather this is the route from where the sacrifice Udhiyah, Qurbani, the ibadah of Udhiyah and Qurbani originates from. So as we near the day of Eid al-Adha and the season of Eid al-Adha, one point which every believer needs to keep in mind is we need to carry out the Udhiyah and the Qurbani, especially for those upon whom it is wajib. So number one, we need to find out from the ulama that is it necessary upon me to carry out Qurbani this year or not? If it is, then we must carry out Qurbani. And as far as Qurbani is concerned, one way you can carry out Qurbani is you do it locally. The benefit of this is that if you carry out one Qurbani here locally, you yourself will be able to benefit from the meat of the Qurbani, which is blessed. The children in the house will see that this is also something which we as Muslims do. They will grow up knowing that Eid al-Adha is a special moment. So one Qurbani should be carried out locally. And thereafter, if a person wants to carry out more Qurbanis in third world countries or those countries where there's a need, then he should carry out more Qurbanis abroad also. But a person should not think to himself that it's more cheaper to carry out Qurbani abroad, so I'm not going to carry out any Qurbani locally. We should benefit from our own qurbani meat. It's rather sunnah on the day of Eid that the first thing a person consumes after Eid al-Adha Salah is the meat of his own qurbani animal. So this, a person can only do this if he does qurbani locally. So inshallah, on this topic, I will try to speak more in the upcoming weeks. But just keep this point in mind for now, that as Eid is getting closer, we should all be making arrangements for our udhiya and our qurbani. Those who do not have the full information regarding this and would like information, then you are requested to speak to any of the ulama you are acquainted with. But it's very important that as Eid al-Adha approaches, that we make arrangements for udhiya and qurbani, and we bring this great sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, which is an obligation upon this ummah, into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Please stand up in your places and move forward. And stand very close together. It's school holidays this week also, so more brothers are coming in. So even the brothers that are in the rooms at the back, please fill in the rooms in the front first. Complete the rows properly. And don't leave any empty gaps.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله سبحان ربنا
brothers are reminded, tomorrow after Asr Salah, our weekly Dars of the Quran will take place. So all brothers are requested to participate. And on your way out, you are requested to donate generously towards the running cost of the masjid.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في فلسطين. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Kindly straighten the rows. stand close together, fill in any empty spaces.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah, hayya 'alal falah, qad qamatis salah, qad qamatis salah, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Allahu akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.